There are only a handful of athletes that are iconic to their respective sports, and a gentleman joining us right now is Robbie Nash, and I think if you ask anybody when it comes to windsurfing, the name most synonymous with that sport, and certainly the greatest windsurfer of all time, is Robbie Nash. Robbie, I remember a friend of mine over in Switzerland, and this was back in the 70s, who was telling me about this sport over in Europe where you have a surfboard and a sail on it and everything, and he said it was going to be the next big sport in water, and I'll be darned if it hasn't come, you know, become that way. Take me back to the beginning of windsurfing.
Well, I got into it in 1974 when I was 11 years old, so right in the very, very beginning of the sport, and started competing right away. And at that point, it was still pretty small in the United States, but for some reason, the Europeans really grasped onto it. And in the into the end of the 70s and early 80s through the mid 80s, the sport over there just absolutely boomed. And you know, fortunately for me, my timing was right. I was raised in Kailua, Hawaii, and had a real advantage, you know, in those early days living here and being able to practice pretty much every day, 365 days a year in warm water and good winds. And it kind of set me on my way, and the sport turned professional in 1981, and I turned pro with it. That was the year I graduated from high school, and just never looked back, and sort of running with that ball ever since. So it's been a fun ride, and the sport has stayed very big overseas compared to you know, what it was in the States and what it is today, but it's still a pretty good sport here as well.
One of the things that I know about anybody who's successful, I mean overly successful like you have been, is the fact that they have to have a passion for something, and a passion for the sport of windsurfing. What was it that grabbed you about that sport?
You know, I think the complexity and the difficulty was really attractive to me. I've always been one of those guys, even as a young kid, that was attracted to, you know, individual sports and individual challenges more than the team stuff. You know, I played flag football and basketball and paddle canoe, did all the things that little kids do, but was much more into skateboarding and surfing and, you know, stuff where I could kind of go off on my own and challenge myself. And especially, you know, being in an environment that's constantly changing the way the ocean is. Wind and waves are basically a variable that is always moving and always evolving that you can't perfect. And that really was attractive to me. I've continued to surf, you know, my whole life. Windsurfing is still a big part of my life. And now, of course, kite surfing and stand-up paddle surfing are really big in what I do, both professionally and personally. So it's just that playing field of ever-evolving, always, you know, when you think you've got it basically tamed, it spanks you. And I like that. I like that challenge.
One of the other things that I know, and I always appreciated, and I know you know the movie Endless Summer, which was one of the great, great surfing movies ever. And what I liked about it is it took you around the world with people that were surfing. Take me a little bit around the world windsurfing. Tell me about the dynamics of what it's like to surf down in South Africa or to surf in Europe, windsurf in Europe, or out some exotic place.
Well, the cool thing about windsurfing is you can do it, you know, in a lot more places than, say, conventional surfing, where you're talking about, you know, fairly unique locations that provide good enough surf to really get out there and ride waves at a high level. Windsurfing, you know, you've got the wave sailing aspect, but then you've got the speed aspect, and then just general free riding, which, you know, you can do in flat water anywhere with a bit of wind. So it's, you know, it's always been a big part of it for me. I've been traveling the world since I was 13 when I went to the Bahamas in 1976, you know, as a little kid alone to my first world championship, and I've been doing it ever since. So I'm really used to being away from home at least, you know, 4 to 8 months a year. And it's great. You meet people. You know, windsurfing is a fairly obscure sport. You know, it's like a little family everywhere you go, you know, whether it's, like you said, South Africa and key spots like that for Europeans to go in the wintertime. Or Hawaii, you know, Maui is kind of mecca for windsurfers. They all dream of coming here. But the big countries in our sport are like France, Germany. Those are the two biggest countries. And so I end up, you know, throughout my entire career spending an awful lot of time in Germany. I speak fluent German now as a result. A lot of time in France. I'm there several times a year. But then, you know, places like Thailand and Japan and, you know, all over the place. It's a good way to see the world. You know, you're looking at it from a very different perspective, chasing basically chasing nasty weather is what I've done most of my life. The stuff that most people run away from is what we're running towards.
Robbie Nash is with us on Sports Byline, greatest windsurfer of all time. And Robbie has earned himself a total of 24 world titles, his first one at the age of 13, and over 150 event victories. I sit here in San Francisco, and so every day I have a chance, Robbie, to cross the Golden Gate Bridge, and I'll look down as I'm working my way into the studios, and I see those windsurfers out there on the bay, and it's a pretty brisk wind, as you probably know. Tell me about windsurfing in San Francisco and other places that really, you know, get you jacked.
Well, to tell you the truth, the Bay Area was one of my absolute favorite places to race in the whole world. You know, Chrissy Field, right under the Golden Gate.
Right.
I've raced there so many times I couldn't even count, and it's really technical, very tactical, because the wind is super shifty and the currents there are amazing. So you have to be smart as well as fast to do well there. And we had events, you know, the San Francisco Bay Challenge, which was from, out around the A buoy outside the Golden Gate Bridge, and then weaved its way down Alcatraz, Angel Island, and ended up at the Berkeley Pier. And the whole bay in general is just a fantastic sailing venue. For America's Cup coming up, it's going to be probably the best venue they could imagine for racing that. And definitely for windsurfing, it's a fantastic place to sail. A little chilly, but awesome. Absolutely love it there.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about the temperature of the water. I know it can get down into the 50s. And does that kind of become mind-numbing when you're in that type of environment, wherever it might be in the world?
You know, you get used to it. When you're out in the water, one, wetsuits have gotten a lot better over the years, you know, even in the early days with the junky wetsuits. Once you're on your board and you're riding, you don't even think about it. But by today's standards, the suits are so good. They're really flexible, really warm, and it's not really a concern. When you're on the beach standing around and when you're done, you know, putting your stuff away is usually the only time you think about it. And when you're out riding, you're warm as can be.
1974, tell me about the equipment and compare it with the equipment today you're using.
Oh, my God. The equipment in the old days compared to what they've got today, different world. I started out with wooden booms, you know, wooden teak wishbone booms. The boards were 12-foot-long plastic, rotomolded polyethylene boards that weighed nearly 50 pounds, a big wooden dagger board, very, very simple rigs, you know, a sail with only soft battens in the leech. But an amazing amount of fun, even at that at that level. You know, it was just so challenging, so much fun. And very rapidly, the equipment began to develop, actually starting in Hawaii with, you know, my dad and myself and a fairly small group of people started advancing the sport to work better in the conditions that we had to offer in Hawaii. So boards that were more performance-oriented and sails that were higher aspect and lighter, stiffer, stronger. And that's been the name of the game ever since. Like a lot of sports, you know, modern equipment and composite technology, carbon fibers, epoxies, have really been the driving force behind the evolution of the sport. You know, the equipment has advanced to such a degree that it's allowed the sport to advance with it. And if you look at what we're riding today, the lightweight, incredibly strong, very maneuverable boards, and same thing with the rig components. You know, they're much, much more high performance, allow us to do things both on the water and in the air that were really not even imaginable in the early days. It's made it a lot more fun, made it a lot more accessible to a lot more people. And it's been a good fun ride, and I think that's probably why I've stayed so passionate about it, is if you compare what we're doing today and what we're riding to what we were in the early days, it's very, very different. So it's kept it exciting and interesting. It's never gotten boring.
What kind of speeds can you reach?
The world speed record was actually just reset for the windsurfer about a month ago at 51 knots, which is really, really fast. It's up 61 miles an hour, 62 miles an hour. Very, very fast. You know, the outright sailing record is now over 60 knots. Everything's really been elevated in the last few years, and the kite surfing record is even faster than the windsurfing record. It's at 54 knots. But that's amazingly fast. The fastest I ever went at a speed trials in the Canary Islands in 2003 was 44 knots. So 50 knots, it's really, really fast. And it feels a lot faster on the water than it would, say, driving in your car. So, I mean, if you drive down the highway at 60 miles an hour and then imagine going that fast on a windsurfer, it's pretty exhilarating.
I'm going to use two analogies that I'm familiar with. One, I have a lot of friends in NASCAR racing, and they tell me that if you're driving 200 miles an hour, you better be thinking 201 miles an hour. In other words, ahead of your car. Same thing in flying. When I'm flying a high-performance aircraft, I'm thinking ahead of it. Am I correct in assuming you have to do the same thing, and you also have to take in a lot of input? And what I mean by that, wind speed, direction, the water itself, like you talked about, traffic that might be around you as well. Does all of that come into play? And am I correct about thinking ahead of your windsurfing board?
Yeah, it really does. You know, that's my only real hobby outside of board sports is cars and motor racing. I'm quite a passionate motorhead, and I've got several cars of my own. And if you're going even 30 knots on a windsurfer, it's like going 150 miles an hour in a car. The sensation of speed and what it takes to, you know, maintain control and awareness at that speed, you're always definitely looking ahead. The biggest factor for us is the chop on the water, because you can get the pitch of the board and your fin off so easily that you get some pretty good wipeouts if you're not paying real good attention. And even if you are, crashing is part of the fun and part of the game. I'm crashing as much as I'm, you know, as much now as I ever was. But fortunately, it's, you just get up and keep going. That's the beauty and the forgiveness of having water as your medium. It's not like falling down on asphalt or dirt or rocks or pavement. You know, there's a lot of margin for error, and you just get up and keep smiling and keep riding. So I'm lucky I actually picked the medium that I did. I've been basically uninjured my whole career. I turned 50 this year, and I've been doing nothing but crazy extreme stuff since I was a little kid. But landing in water, again, is a nice, fairly soft place to learn how to crash, as opposed to all the other extreme, you know, mediums that are out there. I've been lucky.
Tell me a little bit about the Laureus World Sports Awards down in Rio.
Well, you know, this is going to be the first award show that I'm going to miss since becoming a Laureus World Sports Academy member, you know, more than a decade ago. So I'm a little disappointed with that, but I've got family obligations you know, that happened to be taking place at the same time, and family first. But it's going to be a great event. A host of athletes, obviously, that are up for awards in the different categories. And it's going to be quite an event. I'm sad to be missing it.
A question about the talent that now is coming up. I mean, you set kind of a standard when you started back in 74 at the age of 13. But when you look at the young windsurfers that are coming up, how good are they, Robbie?
They're really good. You know, they don't quite have the tour to present their talents that we had in the heyday, you know, through the 80s and 90s, where professional windsurfing was huge and we had big prize money and a lot of events. The tour is kind of condensed, but the passion and the talent of the young guys is absolutely there. I'm still out. I was out yesterday at Hokipa, which is, you know, the main photo shooting and testing ground in Hawaii for everybody. I'm still out there almost every day. I was out there yesterday riding with these guys, because almost all of them are in town because this is our photo shoot season for the various manufacturers. And the stuff they do, you know, is pretty impressive, beyond what I'm now, you know, pushing myself to do. Wave riding, I'm right in there with them, but especially in the air, what, you know, the young guys like Philip Kloster, who's up for an alternative award this year, is doing, like double forward loops and double back loops. And like all of the extreme sports, whether it's BMX, snowboarding, skateboarding, they've just pushed the limits to such an extreme that it's pretty amazing.
Is there a particular, in about 15 seconds, moment that's ingrained in your mind about what you've done in this sport?
You know, not really. I think what I'm most proud of and what I'm, you know, reflect on occasionally is just how long I've been doing it with such a passion, and the fact that I'm still out there on the water riding with these guys at a high level and loving it as much as I am.
Robbie, thanks a lot for joining us on Sports Byline, talking about a sport that you have certainly brought to the forefront of people's minds, and for your great success. You are welcome here anytime on Sports Byline. Take care, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Robbie Nash with us again, the first athlete to have gained long-lasting international fame in the sport of windsurfing. He is widely acknowledged as the greatest windsurfer of all time. We continue with more of you in Sports Byline.